Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the current administration deals another blow to Cuban travel. Did Southwest pilots spy on their flight attendants in the bathroom? And finally, there's an airline which might be working to reduce fuel emissions in the skies. Details next.
In our Smarter Traveler segment coming up at 3:20, Mark points out one hotel chain may be giving more than lip service to saving the planet. And if you're trying to get help with a travel problem, please don't use these words. Summer, which we can't even say on the radio.
For the back half of the hour, starting at 3:35, travel professionals and part of our team of reporters, Gwen Duncan and Clayton Whitehead, are in studio here to talk about a variety of travel subjects.
And we talk about the problem of over-tourism, the real cost of room service, consumer protection, travel to Cuba, and pet peeves when you're on the road.
It's 3 o'clock on a very windy Sunday afternoon, and we are here to make you a smarter traveler. Thanks for tuning in to The Travel Guy.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
To Alaska, I go north, the rush is on. I come from a la-la-la-la. I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
With the show.
Hey there, kids. It is Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's time again for another episode of the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure. And on my left, all the way from across the country, back in California, Mr. Mark Hoffman. How was your trip?
Oh, we had a great time. We went back to Georgia and Alabama, which is, for this California guy, is a little bit outside of my comfort zone. But, you know, folks in that part of the country are incredibly hospitable, and we had a spectacular time. We went on, it was called a pilgrimage to Plains, and so we specifically went to learn about the life and times of former President Jimmy Carter, and his hometown and that whole thing. And it branched off to going to, we went to a place called Warm Springs, Georgia, Tom, which I had frankly only heard of very briefly. It's where President Roosevelt went to, the spring water there was very warm and it was very good for his legs because he had polio. And so he frequently ran the country from this little spot. It was called the Little White House, and it was really fascinating to go there. We went to Andersonville Civil War Prison, which was not the most uplifting place ever, but it was a very interesting place to visit, of course, the town of Plains. We went to Habitat for Humanity, their global village headquarters. God, that was just fascinating.
Is that where Jimmy Carter was helping to build homes?
Not the spot. They were up in Tennessee. They do a thing called the Carter Project every year at Habitat for Humanity and pick out a special project someplace, and that's what he was up doing just a few days after he fell and cut himself open in his head, then fell again and slightly damaged his pelvis. Nothing life threatening. In fact, he was returned to Plains while we were in Plains, because him and his wife live there. His wife of 73 years, I believe it is, live in Plains together. The other thing that really struck me, the people down in that region, they just really like this man. I mean, they really think highly of him. And his record, his humanity record as a politician, probably is what kept him from being a politician any longer, which I would suggest you turned out to be a blessing for the whole planet, because the things he's accomplished since he was a politician probably will be his legacy as opposed to. But the things he accomplished as a politician were many. And it was a busy time. That was when the oil thing was blowing up and the Iranian hostages. And it was interesting to take a look back at that time. We had a man on our trip, thanks to Bob Hall, who was one of our travelers, who was a lifetime civil servant and served in several administrations, including the Carter administration. Exactly the type of person, by the way, who's been seen testifying on Capitol Hill a lot recently. Somebody who just works for the people, mm-hmm. doesn't work for any particular you know, entity. Anyways, he added a great dimension. We stopped at the Freedom Riders Memorial in Anniston, Alabama yesterday, which was a place that President Obama declared a national park landmark. It hasn't been really developed yet, but it's a place where a Greyhound bus was ambushed. And during the civil rights movement, really, I don't have time to go into it all today, but God, it was fascinating. And then we finished the Rocket and Space Center in Huntsville, which is, those folks had a lot to do in the landing of the space, of the moon capsule 50 years ago. So really a great trip. Thanks to all the folks who went along and made it such a wonderful time. Maybe we will do it together again together someday. They all talked about going to presidential libraries. And I said, you know, where were you when we offered those trips before? But maybe there's a market to go back to some of those. Anyway, fascinating trip. Thanks to all the people who went.
Awesome. You know, I'm surprised that your partner over here, Clayton, who is kind of your Southern tour expert there, allowed you to do this one. Sounds like something that normally would go to Clayton's.
Clayton sat there and been real quiet during this. He's going to be part of the second half of the show. But let's be honest here. When it came time to go and make sure that everything on the trip was exactly what I wanted and to pick the places where we were going to eat so we'd get the right sort of Southern cuisine and stuff, Clayton was the one that picked out all of that stuff. So thanks to him, it was a really successful trip for this California boy.
All right. Well, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. Here's Mark.
Well, for those who travel to Cuba, Gwen Duncan is here, and we'll talk a little bit about in the second half of the program that about travel to Cuba. But Gwen, did you see this last week? All the flights now,
yes.
If you're not flying into Havana over the next 45 days, are going to be wound down, and you will only be able to fly from the United States to Havana.
Yes, I heard of that.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because it means that a lot of the Cuban people who could go on reasonably inexpensive flights from Miami over to different places in Cuba will lose that ability. Mm-hmm. So the ability for people to get back and forth and see family and friends and things like that will be seriously curtailed. I know some people are still trying to travel in Cuba. So you're kind of a Cuba person. We'll talk a little bit about that in the second half of the program. I mentioned this in the headlines. Southwest pilots stream live video from a plane's bathroom to the cockpit, flight attendant's lawsuit alleges. This supposedly happened in 2017 on a flight from Pittsburgh to Phoenix. Flight attendant goes up into the cockpit, Tom. She notices that there is an iPad there. She notices that the iPad has a picture of the inside of the bathroom on it.
This is the strangest story.
And so she takes a picture of the iPad picture of what's showing on the iPad with her phone. And she asks the pilots what's going on. And they say, well, this is a new high security thing that we've put into the, and she's not buying it. And then she goes to the airline and one of the administrative people says, well, you know, if you do say anything about this, no one will ever fly our airline again. And so she's filed a lawsuit. And, you know, this is kind of interesting because it wasn't, a few weeks ago, we had this story about a passenger who put a camera in a restroom and then a lady saw it blinking. And so she reported it and stuff like that. A pilot? Holy cow. Let's see. And here's the deal. Now, listen to this. The flight attendant said she was directed by a supervisor to keep the incident to herself. As I said, if this ever got out, if this went public, no one would ever fly our airline again, end quote. She reported to the airline's management. The airline, tried to silence and intimidate them. They were randomly tested for drug and alcohol, and one of them had to do multiple drug tests in a very short period of time. This lady's husband, who was also a flight attendant, was subjected to at least 5 performance audits in the course of a few months following the incident, when in his prior 24 years as a flight attendant, he had only had 3 audits. Southwest denies those allegations about how the airline treated the couple after the alleged incident. And there's some other BS here about, you know, keeping passengers safe and stuff like that. This is I'll bet you we're going to hear some more on this story. I really do.
It's just bizarre.
An airline bathroom.
Well, that would see bottom line. See if you have a iPad with you in the scene,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the cockpit, and then you're in the bathroom, and then you're not supposed to leave the cockpit unattended. See, he was kind of attended. He was there. He was there visually, virtually. And that was his.
The funny thing is, in a restaurant, Clayton and I and Gwen, I'm sure could attest to this. In an airline restroom, you barely have room to get in there, close the door, and get to whatever business that you're trying to attend to. There isn't an extra cubic inch anywhere. I mean, you almost. I how embarrassing for a really good airline that prides themselves on good customer service with Southwest. So let's hope that there is some further response from this. On a little bit lighter note, United Airlines says they're going to make overhead bins larger. They say that they're going to, on their Boeing 737-900, that's their largest in domestic plane, it seats 179 passengers. They're going to say that this larger carry-on bin will accommodate an extra 65 bags on the plane. I'm getting a little jealous because it seems to me like there may be more room for my bag than for me.
Right. I can't wait to see how they accomplish this.
When we put the bag in the chair and put me in the overhead.
Might be more room.
Plus, if those overheads get to a certain weight, wouldn't that be some kind of a safety issue or something?
You would think.
Maybe not. Okay. Speaking of United Airlines, they have promised to further decarbonize air travel. They are committed to investing $40 million in an effort to accelerate the development of sustainable aviation fuels and other decarbonization technologies. Say that three times fast. This is really good news. Listen, airline emissions, travelers, this is something that people who travel don't talk about a lot. I'm in the travel business, but I'll tell you that airline emissions are a problem. It was the seventh or eighth, depending on whose list you look at, biggest emissions on the planet come from airplanes. So if we're going to clean the planet and stop it from warming up, we're going to have to do something about the airplane situation. And I say this as somebody whose livelihood is tied to airplanes. We've got to figure out a way to make flying. We've made it safer. Now what we need to make it is better for the planet. And so United Airlines at least has contributed, is putting $50 million up to try to do some things, and they've got a number of things here. You can go to travelguysradio.com and see the whole list, but at least it's encouraging that airline is going to do some things to try to make...
I can see hybrid. I can see electric in the future.
Yeah, why are we not talking about electric airplanes?
I'm sure they're working on it.
I mean, what a cost savings that would be to airlines. All right, we need to get out of here.
Well, at least they got rid of the ones that had the rubber band that you had to wind up anyway.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about why you should be careful about buying one-way tickets. Also, we're going to clarify real ID and when you need it and when you don't, as a couple of our listeners have pointed out from our program a couple of weeks ago, and also the five words that you never use when you're trying to get something done. That's coming up next on The Travel Guys.
We're back. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Don't forget now, follow along at Travel Guys Radio. .com. So, Mark, it seems to be fashionable that whether it's restaurants or airlines,
mm-hmm.
now hotels, they're trying to make a difference, trying to save the planet.
I think it's a good thing. I went, this bottle came from Marriott Hotels, and this is what I got in San Francisco when I checked in. Instead of the proverbial bottle of water, of course, bottles of water, plastic bottles of water in San Francisco are going away. And I was so impressed by this. I came home and looked up the cost of it to see if it's something that Sports Leisure Vacations could use. Cost-wise, it's still about 10 to 12 times the cost of a bottle of plastic water. But
yeah, it's a light, very, very lightweight. What is it? Aluminum?
It's aluminum. It'll also keep your. It's got a little bit of a lining on it. It's fully recyclable, and it'll help keep your beverage warm or cold a little bit. I mean, not like a thermal thing, but still to some extent. Also, I was in Marriott Hotel the other night. Where was I? Huntsville, Alabama. And for the second time in the last 3 weeks in a Marriott hotel, I was served a beverage with a straw that was not plastic. This one was a fully biodegradable, recyclable straw, and the other one was a paper straw some kind of a lining on the inside. They're not as quite as good as plastic straws, but they will save a dolphin or two, maybe, or something else in the ocean, or maybe a human someday. So these are things that we've got to start thinking about, people. We've got to. I mean, the little inconvenience, a little extra cost. We've it's either that or we all go down in flames. So it's
well,
important.
You know, and then on top of all of that, you know, plastic leaches into the water that you drink.
It does.
If your plastic bottles have gotten warm, you know, you buy a 24-pack and you sit it in the hot garage. In reality, after it sat there for a half a day, you probably shouldn't be drinking it. So, you know, there's more than just saving the planet.
It's funny, people,
saving your health.
When they travel, they drink water out of bottles.
Yep.
Because in some cases, well, I don't know what the local water system is like, except that water systems throughout the country traditionally are incredibly safe. Not all of them, but the vast majority of them. And the other thing is, as you point out, you take that plastic water bottle, and every time you fill it up, a little bit of that plastic leaches into the water. I don't know what the solution is, but I don't know that we can pay $2.50 for a bottle of water. But I'm guessing that the price of this is going to come down pretty quickly. Anyway, my kudos to Marriott Hotels. They have a whole sustainable operations guide on their website. It's listed at travelguysradio.com. It looks like it's not just corporate BS. And PR, it looks like they actually are trying to do some things to improve their operations. And so you can read about it if you go to their website. So congratulations to Marriott Hotels. I hope the rest of them follow along. Five words you never use when you have a customer complaint. This was analyzed by CallMiner. They went through, let's see, it's some.
Can we guess on some of these?
It's a lot of, sure you can. it's a lot of calls they went through. It was millions. It's here someplace, and I'm not.
I hate you, and I'll never come here again.
It says that when you use these words, your call will last an average of 8.3 minutes longer. You are not likely to get your desired solution, and they create a hostile work environment that can eventually harm the mental health of the employees who are taking your calls. So, what are the five words you shouldn't use? Warning: you're not going to hear most of them because you can't say these on the radio. The first, the most commonly used one by picked up in 30, this is pretty unusual. This is alarming. 37% of the calls of these guys monitored, over 8 million phone calls they checked out. 37% of them had the two-word phrase, first word, God.
Uh-huh.
Second word referring to how you stop water from flowing.
Got it.
Next one was a four-letter word beginning with the letter F.
Yeah.
The next one talks about excrement from a bull.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's the third one on the list.
That one probably, I'm surprised that wasn't closer to the top of the list.
Uh-huh.
When they're done speaking and
when
you
they're speaking
say that.
To me, that would be the top one on the list because most of the time, that's the reason I'm there is because something that BS has happened.
Yes.
The fourth one has to do with the bathroom function,
mm-hmm.
Maybe after you already did it. You know, if you did number one and you'd already done it, why then you would have already. And so that's mentioned 11% of the time. Is this not going over well? Why do I feel like I'm trapped here? 6% of the people use the B word in their conversation, which really kind of alarms me since often the person on the other side of the line is the only person who can help you, as we've talked about before. The point of this is, if you swear at people on the phone, even if you, I will relate something that happened to me yesterday in Huntsville, Alabama. Went up to the United Airlines counter to check in a group of 25 people. The lady looked at this list, which is wonderfully prepared by my staff. It has all the record locators.
I think to be an entrepreneur, you have to really have.
Oh, yeah, you got my audio playing off of my computer by mistake. Huh?
Okay, well, anyways.
Sorry about that. Continue.
I go up to the United Airlines counter in Huntsville. And I ask, I'm going to check in with the lady, and she looks at this list, which is immaculately prepared and everything that she would possibly need to check in the group. And the first two words out of her mouth are JC. And rather loudly. I'd never had that ever happen before. And then she looks at the list for about 15 seconds, and she says it again. Now, if you're me, and you're about to check in 25 people, she's the only person at the counter, where do you go with that? You've given the lady everything. So anyways, I'm just...
Was she just overwhelmed by the number of people you were checking in or what?
I don't know, but it's not her job to respond to a customer that way. Customers don't feel companies...
She was just asking for help.
The reason people are angry, customers don't feel that companies appreciate them or value their time. And customers don't feel as though they're being treated as an individual. So that's when these conversations start to go south. As we have said before, and here's some extra wisdom. Of course, this comes from our buddy Chris Elliott, who has written the first half of this. So the back half, to get complaints resolved, stay off the phone. Stay calm at all times. So you don't want to get on the phone and have an argument. You want emails. You want a paper trail. You don't want emotions to get into it. And you don't want to get into a situation where you inadvertently use one of those words we were just talking about. Remain calm. If you have to call, take a deep breath before you call. Be polite, even if things don't go your way on the call, just end your call and walk away, and then go the paper route. Speak the king's English, stay away from swear words or things that regionally might not be correct. And if it doesn't work, just appeal in writing. That's what our friend Chris Elliott says. But just know that, when you lose your temper and stuff, people on the other end of the phone, unless you have a real true veteran, the whole thing has now gone south. And so it already went south for you. That's why you're using those words. So anyways, quick thing here. Yes?
No, go ahead.
Okay, quick thing about one-way plane tickets. Why? You go on a website like Kayak, it says Hackers Fare. They've combined two airlines, sometimes in the same direction, but one airline going out, one airline coming back. And they've said, this is the best fare because if you do this, you get the very best deal. Except the best deal is fraught with a lot of things, some of which is you buy those two one-way tickets, you could be subject to two cancellation fees. One flight doesn't go. The second airline doesn't care that the first airline didn't get you there. You can't cancel that flight because the first airline didn't get you there. Be very careful about hacker fares or one-way fares online.
All right. After the break, find out what's going on in the world on the power outages and so forth. Gwen Duncan and Clayton Whitehead, a travel roundtable coming up here on The Travel Guys.
I'm on my way.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler, entertain you along the
way.
Should
we tell people what we were talking about before, while the news was ending there?
We were talking about Jim Boy's Tacos.
Jim Boy's Tacos.
Closing at downtown after 45
years. And
what a
Sacramento tradition Jim Boy's Tacos are. But that was like my favorite location. So I'm just, I'm a man without a taco
stand. Was that because you felt they made the better ones?
No, it was just convenient. I just seemed
to see.
Jim Boy's makes the best tacos. I mean, for a fast food taco, Clayton's not agreeing with us. But I don't really care.
Yeah, Noelle, everybody, like my mama used to say, everybody to their own taste, said the old lady that kissed the cow.
I grew up eating Jim Boy's Tacos at Denio's Farmer's Market in Auction Yard. They were four for a dollar back then. They made tacos as fast as they could all day long and sold as many of them as they could, and the line was long. And that was for a dollar, you could basically, get to... Four tacos makes for a pretty good lunch. Anyway, I don't know. It's a travel show, and now we're talking about...
You didn't have lunch.
...giving somebody a lot of free advertising, which was very deserved in this case. Did you know they started out of the back of a wagon up in South Lake Tahoe? Anyway, Clayton's rolling his eyes. Mr. Clayton Whitehead is here with us, and Miss Gwen Duncan, also known as Stinky.
Oh, that was not kind.
Well, she hasn't had power for,
She's got a lot of company.
Yeah.
Yes. And our condolences for those of you that are listening on your transistors, perhaps using your smartphone if you've got any kind of a internet connection.
And really, I'm teasing Gwen, but this is really not funny because a lot of people are losing food and
have already lost a lot.
I mean, it's not a good thing, but there's nothing you can do at this point, but just so we hosed her down before she came in, so not to worry. If the morning crew is listening, everything will be fine. Here, Clayton, this morning, you were out in town, too, on a very windy day.
I was indeed. On this blustery day, we had Mr. David Sobon, who's the founder of Wide Open Walls. And he stepped on our coach as our tour guide and drove us all around downtown. We were going to do a lot of walking, but a little too blustery for that. But we saw all the murals and learned the stories behind them and about the artists.
Really?
Yeah, it was really, really great.
Sacramento is becoming kind of a city of murals, which murals are really, I think, one of the coolest things a city can do to it shows off your history, it shows off your culture.
Well, it's a pretty amazing thing here in Sacramento, and as a downtown resident, it's kind of my own private art gallery, so I really love it.
For those that might want to venture down and see kind of some of the stuff that you saw, what particular locations are we talking about?
Well, the best thing to do is go to wideopenwalls.com. And there you'll find a map of all the installations, and it's done, you know, it's kept up in real time. So whereas a majority of them come online during the festival each summer, which incidentally he announced next year's festival will not be in August, because this year I think all the artists were out there in 100 plus degree heat every single day. So they're going to push the festival back into the early fall next year and hope for a little bit better weather. But the website's kept in real time, so whenever a new installation is completed, it'll be posted on the site.
Your favorite?
Oh, the mandala that's in the alley between 13th and 14th R and S.
Okay.
I watched the young lady paint that. That's really near my house, and I just like that art form in general, and it's
I think
really
of a couple
nice.
Of little Route 66 cities, Cuba, Missouri, and Pontiac, Michigan, Pontiac, Illinois, I'm sorry, that have had groups of artists. They call them the wall dogs back there, and will just descend on one of these small towns and paint 8 or 10 or 12 murals over the course of a weekend. And it's really a wonderful thing, and it lasts such a long time, and 50, 60 years from now, people will still be... looking at old Coca-Cola bottling signs on the sides of walls and stuff is still a tourism tradition. All right, so we invited those of you here today because we have Tom Romano, Mr. Traveler on the Street, and Clayton Whitehead, who is a tour director and a tour planner and a travel professional, has been doing this for a long time, and Gwen Duncan, who's a travel advisor up in El Dorado Hills, am I right?
Rescue.
Oh, okay.
Eldorado County.
How appropriate to be rescue on this day. Yeah. and so Gwen sells a variety of travel products and also travels the planet. Let's start with this over-tourism thing. Some destinations are really exclaiming loudly about this. Venice is one of them that's been in the news several times in the last couple of years. Clayton, you were just in Venice.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And Venice has been loved to death for for quite a few years now. They have their own geographical and geological issues with rising water and the fact that it's a city made of a number of islands. So, you have very firm boundaries. And then, no disrespect intended, but there's cruise ships. When I was there the other day, there was 8 cruise ships in port. And...
holy cow.
I don't know who's right, wrong, or otherwise in this scenario. I mean, I assume they have to get a permit to park. I assume the port, the city, some entity is okaying this. But 8 giant cruise ships, that was 30, 40, I don't know how many thousands of people. That was a lot of people in a very, very tiny space that was already really full of a lot of other people. So I don't know which people should have the right to visit.
So how do you fix this?
I don't know. Well, I know how I fixed it. This was 2 weeks ago. I was in Venice. Last week, I was on tour in Iowa. We did not have an overpopulation problem there.
In Iowa.
In Iowa. But we had an awesome time.
What recommendations or suggestions can you make to people that may be traveling to Venice, or for that matter, any city that is very, very popular, to try and make your experience a little bit better, particularly when it comes to, certain very, very popular places that you're going to, and things that you're going to want to see?
Well, the number one rule in Venice is don't go on a full moon, or you'll be in ankle deep water everywhere you go. So that's number one rule. In general, I would say when you're going to really popular places.
And that has something to do with climate change and the water tables and the.
Yeah. Well, the full moon, that's when you have higher tides.
Okay.
And that's a city that basically sits in the Mediterranean. So it's highly affected by tides.
So as the water level rises, it's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was there once on a full moon, and literally the water was a foot deep in the hotel lobby.
So besides a full moon, find out what the cruise ship schedule is.
If that's possible.
Book your events ahead of time, buy tickets ahead of time?
Certainly. I think at the end of the day, whenever you're going to any over-touristed area, you need to look at shoulder season. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to decide that either you're going to like people or you're going to like the weather, but you... It's going to be one or the other. You know what I mean? You can't have it both.
Gwen, you do a lot of cruising.
Yes.
And so you witness this. You see this. We were talking before the show started about cruising.
And they've had accidents and they've had all kinds of things happen in Venice. What I see is they've got to be a lot more scrutinizing on their itineraries, because you'll have an influx of, like Clayton says, 8 cruise ships. Even on the small islands in the Caribbean,
that's hard
you'll find
even to imagine.
Kind of
8.
Stuff.
I mean, I've seen 2 or 3 in Key West or something, and they just overwhelm the city.
Well, we were going to go to Grand Cayman one time, and they said there were 4 ships already there. So our cruise, what do you call it? Come on, Gwen.
Captain.
Yeah, the captain. Thank you. The captain decided we're going to go there in 2 days instead, because it's too crowded. It's just too crowded, and they have the. Autonomy to do that.
But certainly these destinations are, the cruise lines have to have permission to dock, and they have to have a spot to dock,
to
or they're paying
that
fees
kind of
and stuff.
But they'll cancel and
so
they'll reschedule.
So it seems like that the destinations might have some control over the, and Venice has announced, in fact, in recent weeks, mm-hmm. that they are going to dramatically limit the number of cruise ships that are allowed to call. So we've got all these cruise ships floating around the planet. If Venice says they can't come to Venice, that seems to me, logic tells me that areas near Venice are going to see more cruise ships.
That's right.
Which is all you're doing is displacing the problem to someplace else.
That's right. Now, and using Alaska as an example, Sitka, to try to change the impact for them, they decided to add a fee to the cruise lines per passenger. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was $50 per passenger. Some of those large ships, that's quite a substantial amount of money. And so what did the ship, they thought they were going to make a lot more money, but the cruise ships just took it off their schedule. So it did, you know, what do they say, unintended consequences.
Uh-huh.
They thought they were going to make a lot of money, and then they ended up suffering in a respect too.
Speaking,
it had its plus and minus.
And speaking of cruise ships, earlier this year, the president decided that as part of his policy towards Cuba, that cruise ships were no longer on fairly short notice.
That's right.
We're not going to be allowed to call in Cuba anymore. Some cruise lines had itineraries that, you know, basically the majority of the cruise was Cuban ports of call. Some were making 1 or 2. They've had to make adjustments to their itineraries and stuff. And now we hear that no longer in a month and a half, there won't be flights to secondary Cuban cities anymore.
Yeah, only to Havana.
You've been to Cuba
twice.
A few times. So
you have to.
Is this going to, who does this hurt the most? Does this hurt political things? Does this keep people from traveling?
Well, there'll be people who'll be disappointed because they've had this long, you know, a desire to go and see the Cuban culture, and it's different in the three major parts that I had been to. But the money that goes in there doesn't really go to the people. You know, so that's
the
another
money from the
argument.
Cruise ships.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
The money that people spend on the street.
Well, if you're buying something from a street vendor, presumably they tuck it in their pocket.
Yeah.
But I certainly got the impression in restaurants and hotels that whether or not we were there didn't really make a big impact on the people's lives.
No, it didn't.
Because they have 2 monetary systems.
That's right.
And Cubans have to use their money, and tourists have to use their money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to get a pocket full of the other money, you're really restricted as to where you can spend it and how you can spend it. It's a very complicated system down there. I had never seen anything like it. And I still don't have my arms completely around it. I'm a world traveler. I had never experienced any place like Cuba.
Me either. It was fascinating. And when you talk to the people, if they're open enough to tell you what's going on, I talked to my one tour operator and I said, oh, we're on our way to Cienfuego. And she said, I've never been there. And it's like a 3-hour drive. I said, you've never been there? And she said, I can't afford to.
Wow.
So the money doesn't get down to the people, and they have a different currency. And it's very restrictive. Nobody owns boats. Only the government can have boats. It's just a big, long story. I wanted to go because I knew there was a small period of time that I'd probably get a chance to see it. There was no doubt it was going to get closed. I knew that was going to happen because of the consequences, you know.
One of the experiences I had is that, you know, we were told we were going to be seeing a lot of people that have a lot of need. So we took all this stuff to give to people, up to and including our own clothes. A number of us agreed that we were just going to leave our clothes behind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people that we got friendly with in the hotel, the barman and the housekeeper, they said, you know, don't leave that because we can't take it.
That's right.
People will think that we stole it. Then we'll get in big trouble.
You're listening to The Travel Guys. We have Gwen Duncan and Clayton Whitehead on board here on KFBK. Before we go to the break, Gwen, well, first, Tom, I wanted to ask you, when you go into hotels, do you ever order room service? Do you ever, like, splurge? And
man, I tell you, I probably have only done room service maybe two or three times in my life. Not usually. Uh-huh. Even though, you know, I always look at the menu, always check it out, and... You know, but not too often.
Our friend Gwen ordered a pizza from room service here recently, and she's now in bankruptcy court.
Yeah, I understand.
Because she discovered that not only was the price of the pizza a little bit difficult to start with, but there were some service charges.
Yes, it was kind of, actually, it was interesting. It wasn't my pizza. It was a report that somebody had given to me. They had
ordered
it. So she
says.
Yeah, so she says, exactly. Yeah.
I have a friend who ordered this pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's likely
yes,
story.
Yes, exactly. I know somebody, just asking for a friend. But it was $10 pizza. And then they had a $7.98 delivery charge. Huh? And then they had a $5.98 service charge. And that was done twice.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you finish
looking
at it... I'm
guessing neither one of those were the gratuity.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
There was a line probably.
By the time you finish, this $10 pizza was $43 is what I sent to you. And the guy was, he was flabbergasted, but what do you do? Then he found out that he could have gotten a, what do you call those? Anyway, pizza party. He could have ordered one delivered.
He could have had a pizza delivered to his room. It would have been cheaper than ordering it from the hotel.
Right, right. For $14, he could have had a 14-inch pizza, and it would have been on a $2 delivery.
You have to be really drunk or really wasted to order room service at a hotel or really rich.
I would, yeah, or
well,
not care.
You know, people are on holiday. They're on vacation. They have, they've already made the decision that this amount of money is disposable for the vacation.
And they're
vacation.
Drunk or they're really wasted.
And that happens as well. And so that's what room service and that kind of thing is for. And
but the problem is they don't really let people know ahead of time what those different services
I wonder if
it's going to cost you a lot.
And Grubhub and stuff are cutting into that because are those people delivering stuff to, it would be cheaper, right?
Yes.
To pay Grubhub $6 or $7 to bring your favorite food, and then
that's
you'd
right.
have from the food. Anyways, we need to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about some of our travel professionals' pet peeves and maybe even get one or two from Mr. Romano.
You got it. Right here on The Travel Guys, coming up.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys. We're around in the bend and heading for home here. We have a few more minutes to go. We have Clayton Whitehead and Gwen Duncan in studio along with my good buddy Thomas Romano. And we were going to talk for a minute here about pet peeves, having a little travel roundtable. And I asked Tom because he's kind of our man on the street, you know. So, Thomas, tell me what's a pet peeve for you when you're traveling?
Well, you know, when you get to a hotel, and it seems like more and more places, especially the newer hotels, and particularly I noticed it in Vegas, is that where you go to check in is at least a mile from the elevator that's going to take you to the room. And you've got to, you know, you're just a long ways away.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you would think they would build it.
Is this so that you will walk through the gaming area or the gift shop?
Probably all of the above.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Mr. Whitehead, what's your pet travel peeve?
I think my biggest pet peeve is when somebody gets to the line, you know, to the point of action, and they aren't ready. Like, if you walk up to the cash register, have your credit card in your hand. When you walk up to TSA, have your boarding passes. And I will stress boarding passes. I can't stand people who use their telephones because they're always pressing buttons and they can't get what they're looking for to come up. But you have your ID and you have your boarding passes ready. You know, when you get to the point of action, be ready because there's somebody behind you that's in a hurry.
Uh-huh. Okay. That was passionate. Miss Duncan, you have
a this is real passionate. I could list hundreds, but the one that bothers me the most, my husband always says, Gwen, calm down. But I don't like to go and claim my baggage.
Oh,
and
go.
The people are standing right up against the corner. I can't even see the luggage coming through. Mm-hmm. I have to look between their legs to see it. And then I have to peel them away. And I do that angrily just to pull
my baggage out.
I mean, it's just so awful.
Paints a mental. It does paint a picture, though.
The lack of
Gwen,
courtesy
between the man's legs, trying to pull her suitcase.
I just
through to me is kind of minorly amusing. Gwen, doesn't it seem to you that if everybody took two steps back from the luggage carousel and waited for their bag to show up, that it would make life simpler for everybody?
It would make people a lot better. Yeah, a lot Mark better. Otherwise, if you're short, you're jumping up and down trying to see stuff not high people in front of you. Well, you got the kids with the cart sitting there playing. I mean, it's just, I don't have any patience for it.
Can you visualize Gwen now?
I can.
She's looking through this tall man's legs, and she's jumping up and down to see on both sides of him. She's waiting for a suitcase. To me, that's, I mean, I would almost pay money to watch that happened.
I like the way you took two steps back from the microphone to explain that
to stand away from the, yeah.
How about you, Mr. Professional Traveler? What's your pet peeve?
My pet peeve is people who are contact points in the industry. They're people who are at the counter for an airline or a hotel, or they're bellman with a specific duty, like picking up bags or something like that, or delivering them for the group. And they seem to think there's this thing now where 85% is good enough. You know, if I did my job about 85, 90% of the way, it's good. There's a commercial on TV about this. If I did it 85%, what's your complaint? I mean, so I missed one of the bags in the room and we have to rush it to the airport now because you've gotten there and we realize we gave you someone else's suitcase and now you're missing one of your own and we're going to have to drive across town to get it there. Or, you know, we're really sorry that there weren't breakfast vouchers in your key packets. We're sorry. I guess it should be good enough, though. I mean, and so the whole it should be good enough thing when it comes to customer service, which, you know, is a pet peeve of mine. You want to eliminate customer service until you need it, and then suddenly you want it to appear from nowhere because you didn't want to pay for it until you needed it. And that's unfortunately not the way that customer service really works. And if you don't believe that, just try to chat with somebody. You know, all those chat things are bots on the and there's nobody there. You're talking to a machine, or you're talking to somebody who was summoned when the chat thing came on, and as soon as they finish the phone call they're on, they'll come over. I just, never mind. It's a long list.
How about the quadruple wide strollers that you get stuck behind at theme parks or any kind of a public place where there are kids?
I have long thought that Disney could revolutionize their profits if they had adult only days, no strollers allowed. I would seriously go.
But it's a family sort of park.
I don't care. They can have it 360 days a year.
Uh-huh.
Why not just give us five
adult-only days? An adult-only day for Disneyland.
Oh, I'm not saying you go naked and go drunk or anything. I'm just saying nobody under 18 is allowed. I think there is a market for that. I would go.
There you go.
Quadruple strollers?
Oh, I swear, they're the four kids across, you know, it's like a Mack truck.
How do you travel with four? I saw a lady the other day in the airport. She was traveling with three children who they must have been like 4, 5, and 6, you know, all long enough. She had one of them on a tether and one of them tied to her. And I don't know, it was just they were all over the place. Anyway, thank you to Clayton and to Gwen for giving up part of your Sunday afternoon to be live on the radio with us here. I hope it was fun to listen to, and I promise we will do this again because I think there's a lot of...
Lots
you guys
of
traveled.
Pet peeves.
You run into things. Thomas, thank you again, sir.
Thank you. See you next week.
Vance like nobody's watching, and we'll be here next Sunday at 3 o'clock on The Travel Guys. Have a good week.
You bet. Go Kings. Try to win a game.